man, it is good to be here. How's your gathering going so far? Like, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up. Okay, good. Oh, I think gatherings are so fun. And I was actually doing a little bit of counting in my head about how many gatherings I've been to. This is my 13th gathering to attend. And all that tells you is I'm old. So it would be 15, except I missed two. I missed one when I was in college, and I missed one when our youth ministry that I was working with went out of the country for a mission trip, and it was the same week as the youth gathering, and so we were serving in Haiti and missed that one too. But other than that, I went to two as a high school student. I hit that perfect window of freshman, senior, and That was really great to do that. But anyway, so 13, and I've served on the gathering team. I've done workshop presentations. I've been a speaker on the main stage. I've been a planner for years. I mean, it's like youth gatherings just flow through my veins. So I love being here. I love that I have the opportunity to be here. If you were in here earlier, early enough, you saw a video of like random kids on the screen and some music playing, and you're wondering like, what in the world is that? So I actually serve now. So I served as a youth minister, a DCE, if you know what that is, Director of Christian Education. I served in the church for 32 years doing that, and which also just lets you know how old I am. And this is my 35th anniversary of doing ministry, but 3 years ago I took a call to a Lutheran organization called Lead a Child, where what we do is we support Christian education, Lutheran education in developing countries all around the world. So we're in 17 different countries. We have nearly 80 different schools, and we work with the indigenous people in those countries. And if you want to hear more, or come spin a wheel, or get candy, or get some stories, or get a tattoo, whatever it is, come see us down in the exhibit hall. You'll find us if you look hard enough. But I know there's like a million things to do down there. So if you get stuck on the volleyball court and you don't make it to Lead a Child, I just want you to know right now, God loves you, I love you, and it's okay. But if you want to come hang out for a little bit at our booth, come on by. I would love to see you. How many of you have already been there? To the Lead a Child booth. Yeah, two people. Whoop, whoop. I thought I saw more of you come in the door. Well, that was an epic fail right there. So anyway, that's who I am, and again, just so fun to be here with you this afternoon as we talk about a really heavy topic, and nobody wants to admit, really, that they struggle with loneliness, so I thought, why did they put me in this big room when 10 people are going to show up? And so I'm really proud of you for stepping into this topic, whether it's your own experience of dealing with, struggling with, fighting against loneliness, or you have really good friends who are just struggling with that, and you want to be in ministry to them. So I need one volunteer, and I've never tried this little thing, so I don't even know if it's going to work. Okay, so I'm going to go with my guy up here. Tell me your name again.
My name is Luke.
Luke is right here. Okay, so he's going to stand here. And then, Luke, it's no fun to be up here by yourself. You should have a friend. Yeah, you choose. I don't care. You can pick, like, if you see, like, a really cute girl and you want a chance to... And I am way too old, and it would be illegal for us to connect, so do not... Wait, this is... I totally thought you were going to choose a girl. I mean, okay, good. All right, Luke and... Cooper. Okay, Luke and Cooper. I need another volunteer. Let's do a girl, though, okay? A girl. No, not... Not for the hookup, okay? I am not doing the hookup. Okay, come on up. I'm going to go with the fact that you're from Texas. And is Tyler Tollefson your DCE? Oh, okay, no, that was another epic fail. He's in the room. Okay, what's your name?
Haley.
Actually, Haley, stand on this side of me. Okay, Haley, it's also no fun to be here by yourself, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to, you know, I mean, we're talking about loneliness, so... Yeah, here we go. Okay, Haley, Luke, and?
Sonia.
Sonia, and I forgot already.
Cooper.
Cooper.
Okay, I'm not going to remember that, so let's not do that. Okay, so the only direction I have for you guys is I don't want you to turn around and look at the screen, because I have some questions on there so I have some questions up there that I don't want you to look at, okay? So these guys are going to ask you a question. I have one microphone, so if you're out there and you want to ask a question, is everybody with me? Are you with me out there? Give me like a, yeah, we're with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know. Okay, so there are some questions up on the screen, or you can ask your own. And I'll just give the microphone to whoever you ask the question of. But when you ask a question, would you stand and kind of shout it out loud so everybody can hear you? Okay, and if I have to, I'll repeat the question. Yeah, go ahead. Who are you asking the question to? Haley or Luke?
I guess Luke. Good option.
Wait.
He chose right.
Questions.
I know. I want to make sure you see what's on the screen. Okay. Anyway.
I go to Rockland High School in California.
Okay. So people follow his lead. Yes, sir. No. Only these people. We don't care about your neighbors. Only these people. Do you want to ask one of these students? That's you. Haley.
That's me?
Yeah, she's just your friend standing up here.
I'm in my school's drill team.
Oh, okay, in your school's drill team. Okay, somebody else have a question? Okay.
Haley, what are you looking forward to this summer?
We have a lot of dance, like, practices and, like, bonding with our team, so I'm looking forward to getting to know other people.
Nice. Okay, who else has a question? Okay. Who is it for, Cooper or Haley? Okay.
I went on a cruise with my family.
Oh, that's fun. Who do you have a question for? For Haley. Golly, Haley.
We went to Cozumel, Grand Cayman, and Jamaica.
Okay, does anybody have a question for Cooper or... Anybody have a question for Cooper or Luke?
I think she does.
Nobody? Wait, you do? Okay, go ahead. Who are you asking your question to? Did you mean to ask that to Haley? I think Haley wants to answer that.
I'm excited for all the mass events with like everyone worshiping together.
That's fun. Who else? Anybody have a question for Cooper or Luke? You don't? Question for Haley? He said, where did you get your cowboy hat? Very important question.
Kind of embarrassing, but it was an old dance costume.
Oh, an old dance costume. Anybody have a question for the guys? Nobody does? Oh, for Sonia. Okay.
Huntington Beach, California.
Whoop, whoop. I have a question for you, too. How do you afford to live there? California's so expensive.
Well, my family's lived there basically. Well, on my dad's side, we've lived there forever. And then on my mom's side, they're from Germany. So.
Awesome. Okay, anybody have a... I'm feeling bad for these guys over here. Anybody have a question for the guys? Who are you asking it? Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper.
So not even Luke? Luke was the guy. Okay. All right. Ask your question to Cooper. Or Haley. Or Sonia. No, you want these guys.
You really want to ask Haley the question.
He's not interested.
I'm 16.
Haley, how old are you?
He said he's 16. Haley, how old are you? They want to know.
I'm 15.
Sonia?
17.
57. Okay. What else? Any other questions? One more. Okay, go. Who are you asking for? The girls. What's your favorite Starbucks drink?
I don't really like coffee.
You know they have other things called like strawberry acai lemonade refreshers? Yeah, not a drop of coffee in there. You know that they have this drink called chai tea latte? Not a drop of coffee in there. Haley. Vanilla bean frappuccino, full of calories, but very good. Okay, Sonia, what's your favorite Starbucks drink?
I got sick from Starbucks a long time ago, so I don't like Starbucks. But if I'm getting coffee or like something, I'm going to get a chai tea latte or Boom. Black coffee.
Girl after my own heart. Okay, very good. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for helping out. So actually, Luke, would you come back up here? Yeah. Luke.
Hi.
So we gave people, Luke actually is interested in public speaking, so let's see if we can encourage him. So Luke, if you turn around and look at the screen, this was the direction that I gave to people, to show no interest in you whatsoever, but to only focus on the people who were on this side of me. And so you were not being asked questions on purpose. And this was my grand experiment to say, I mean, now that you know that that's what I was trying to do on purpose, really, when you were standing up here, how were you feeling about the fact that the questions were going here, except for the people who can't read and ask questions of the guys?
It was fine.
It really was?
No, me and Cooper, we have a great relationship, and we were bonding over here.
Okay, so you felt comfortable because you had
buddy
next
with
to you?
Me.
Yeah, right. So if that weren't the case, and you were just up here and everybody is showing interest in this person and not asking you a single question about yourself, how does that really feel in general?
Probably not very good.
Yeah, probably not very good. And so here you can be in this room full of people, right? You can be in this room full of people and yet you've got nobody paying attention to you. I actually, didn't want them even showing eye contact, but I think because you're such a looker, I think...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I think that's what was going on, is that they couldn't help themselves. But in general, loneliness can happen in all kinds of situations. But when people especially are not making a connection with us and we can't be connected to somebody, that's why I think it was really cool that you pointed out that Cooper was kind of your connection, because otherwise that would have felt really bad. But I didn't want to send him over the edge emotionally, so I had a friend. Okay, anything you want to say, while you got the floor?
California is better than all of your states.
I think his speaking career is off to a rousing start, don't you? Yeah, I think Luke is going far. Luke, come see me at the Lead a Child booth, okay? All right, so on loneliness, did you know that teenagers today are the loneliest generation in the history of when we started tracking this kind of stuff, which has been a long time? So generations and generations, people older than me, but teenagers today are among the loneliest that have ever existed generationally in the history of the United States. That's a crazy statistic to know that of your generation. And that you experience loneliness more than any other population that's alive today. And so a lot of times people think, well, that's the older generation because maybe they, their spouse has died or they're in a nursing facility, their kids are grown, their grandkids maybe don't come around as often. And so you'd think that senior adults would be the loneliest in our population. They are second, but they're second to teenagers. That teenagers experience more loneliness than not only in the history culturally your generation, but among people who are alive today, different age groups, that you lead the pack in terms of who is the loneliest. And I think that also says a lot. So we're going to unpack that. You were lonelier than millennials, the generation before you. You were lonelier than they were at this age. And so it's just a lot. You get the picture that this generation, your generation, struggles with this issue more than any other. So when we ask the question, what is loneliness? I don't know if that's the question you're asking today, but I'm going to tell you. So one, it is the gap between the social connections you'd like to have and the ones you feel you do have. So you are, you see a group of people at school, and you'd really like to belong to that group of people, but you don't, and so you have a different group or one friend or whatever it is, but you might feel that would be the definition of loneliness because you're not a part of the group that you want to be a part of. And so there's something about, you know, not embracing where you are and just enjoying the people that you do have and always wanting something different. And when we do that, that leads to a higher degree of loneliness. It's the feeling of aloneness even in the presence of others. So I know that you guys know what that is. So we were just trying to demonstrate that right with Luke and Cooper, where they're in this room full of people, they have each other, but they can still be lonely, okay? And so you can identify with that. And then loneliness is perceived. It's a perceived individual experience where a person has a sense of detachment, alienation, and isolation. And that doesn't sound like any fun to me. And yet we deal with it all the time. And even though I said teenagers deal with this more than any other population, every person is impacted by this, and that we can all identify with times where we have been extremely lonely, whether we're surrounded by people or not. So this is a teenager by the name of Pippa, and this is what she has to say about it. She said, if I thought about it before I experienced it, you'd think about it as not having anyone around you. That's what we were just talking about, that you're literally alone. But the experience, that is of loneliness, is one where you can be surrounded by people, even people who care about you, and still feel there's no one. What do you think of Pippa's quote? What do you think of what she has to say? Right here, this young man says, Cooper, I recognize you now. Cooper says, it's true. It's true. Any thoughts about what Pippa had to say? Okay. How many of you relate to what she has to say? Yeah. There we go. So what causes loneliness? And we'll talk about each of these, but life experience. Maybe something has happened in your life where you lose someone that you love, or you've gone through a breakup, or your family has moved, or some life experience where you are, maybe you were part of the drill team, like what Haley was talking about, and then all of a sudden you're not doing that anymore for whatever reason, you had an injury or whatever, and so you have this loss of community. So a life experience can lead to feelings of loneliness. Also, we talked about this, but loneliness is also it's a feeling. And so if you have the feeling of being excluded from others, just a feeling of not fitting in with your peers or your own family, it doesn't have to be outside of your family. You can feel that within your own family or on a team. You know, you play on the football team, or you're a part of the band, or acting or whatever it is, and you just don't feel like you really fit in. It's a very lonely feeling. Not having a community in which you belong. So if you just don't have a youth group, you might be here with a group of people because you really wanted to go to the youth gathering, but you're not really connecting with anybody in your group. This is an everyday experience, and it leads to loneliness. A quick quote here from Elizabeth. She says, it's not like you can go out on the internet and buy a friend. You know, and she's right. And even though we desperately want those people in our lives, we can't just because we want something doesn't mean that we can we can get it or get it easily. And so there are some things about that that lead to loneliness. So here's some contributing factor that teens identified as things that lead to loneliness. And I just want to talk about each one of them just briefly. But an adverse childhood experience, like something that went terribly wrong, a divorce, something like that. Identify difficult family relationships, mental health issues, like you're just struggling with that, with depression, anxiety, things that keep you from wanting to connect or being able to connect, transition and change, lack of face-to-face communication and connection, and I think there's one more after that, isolation and bullying. That all of these things were contributing factors in teenagers identifying why they feel lonely. I wanted to touch on this lack of face-to-face communication and connection. So I am not going to harp on you on phone usage. That is not what we're going for here. But I am curious to hear your thoughts on what you think the connection is between like social media and feelings of loneliness, because your generation is more connected than any other generation, but you're connected digitally. Why? What about social media? Or what about, you know, Snapchat and those kinds of things, texting and whatnot? Why, when we're more connected than any other time in the history of the world, are we struggling more with loneliness? Do you have some thoughts about it? Do you guys mind if I pass the microphone around and then you guys can just share it around? Okay, I'm gonna start right here in the front and then just pass it around, okay? Come grab it, stand up, we'll get it to you. Okay, go ahead, stand up.
Okay.
Please.
So I went on this, Haley's my sister, and we went on a cruise, and it was super fun, and I was, like, looking forward to it, because I was like, I get to chill, I'm not on drill team anymore, like, I'm done with school, I have, like, a break before I go to college, and I was super excited for it. We went with a family that's, like, also really close friends with us, and I was just, it was really fun, too, but at the same time, my friends went to the beach, and I was also, there's a lot of people in here, okay, sorry, that's just, like, my friends
ADD
also went
thought
to the
right
beach.
There, yeah, an ADD moment. Squirrel.
That's me. So my friends went to the beach too, and I was invited, but I couldn't go because, again, I was on a cruise. And so even like while I was having a good time, just seeing like them posting stuff, and then they got like matching hats for their colleges and matching shirts, and they took all these pictures, and they were posting about it. It just made me feel like sad, which is really weird because I was having a good time on my own vacation, and then they were at the beach. But social media definitely makes it a lot harder to like live in the moment when other people are doing better things or like different things.
So you're looking at things on social media, you see pictures of your friends or people you know, whatever, because we have way more friends on social media than we have in real life. Don't you agree? I mean, I'm friends with people on Facebook and I'm like, I think I met them once. But anyway, yeah, can you get this down to him, please? And then we see these things that they're doing, and we've developed FOMO, right? I mean, we have a major case of FOMO because of social media.
Despite like our generation being one of the most connected people, it lacks. Whenever I try to start a conversation, someone can be busy, they cannot want to have the conversation. And even when they do, it lacks something, lacks emotion, lacks tone sometimes. Sometimes people have a problem getting emotions through text or call or whatever, and it just face-to-face talks.
Yeah,
I enjoy more.
Yeah, even dating is different these days, right? I mean, like you probably do hang out, you know, to some degree, but you have a lot of conversations. So when I talk with teenagers about that, you know, we talk all the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you talk or you like text or snap? I'm like, oh, it's text or snap. I'm like, you miss so much, you know, by doing that. But I have two teenagers, so I'm okay with it.
All right. So I just stand up?
Yeah, sure.
Sick.
We will love you, right? No matter what. Yeah. We're anxious to hear what you have to say.
All right.
come on.
Thank you. I guess, are we talking about like being like lonely, right?
The connection you think between social media and loneliness. How, when we're more connected than ever, are we still lonely? more lonely than ever.
All right. So I use Discord very regularly. If y'all don't know what it is, it's just like some like messaging app, I guess.
Talk to the old people in the room, because I'm sure everybody knows about it. But
yeah. But anyways, like you can go on like calls and stuff, and sometimes a lot of my friends are on there, and I try to get on there, and I try to be part of the conversation that they're all in, and like I try to chime in, but they just ignore me.
Yeah, and so even though you're connected, you're not really connected. I can see you guys have something to say, and I want you to be able to say it. Yeah.
So, like, my thing with social media is that it's easier. It's a block in between you and the person. Because when you're face to face with the person, you like have to see them. They're there with you, so you have to pay attention to them, obviously. But with social media, it's like you're in a different place. So you can just like ignore the person or like pretend the person doesn't exist for a while. But whereas if you're standing face to face with someone, you have to acknowledge their presence. Like I have to acknowledge them. I have to acknowledge the people behind me. And like with that, you can get their emotion. You can get like the tonality of their voice. But when it's just like a block of text and there's no identifying factor like caps or whatnot, you can't exactly get the full context of what they're saying.
Yeah.
So like, sure, a paragraph may be long, and you may explain yourself in it, but we have absolutely no clue at any point what's going on underneath the subtext. Because, like, with subtext, you can get, like, facial expression and whatnot, but you can't get that over a call because you can't see their face. Or sometimes people will put up an act on video calls. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to get to the core of what the person's trying to say when you can't actually see them face-to-face or pick up on their body language.
Yeah, I love what you have to say about that, because not only that, but then people say something and it's like, wait, I want to respond to that, but it's going to take forever. I can't ask a clarifying question just in this, like to say, well, when were you feeling that way? Or what? I mean, you know what I mean? Like ask a clarifying question where they can respond immediately and you can have a give and take. And when you're just communicating digitally, you really lose the opportunity or the potential to do
that. And
then
there's also like the element of time. It's like, how long has this been and whatnot? But it makes us more aware of how long we haven't talked to someone and like how much they're not a part of our life, basically.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. I saw one more and I'm going to just have one more. So you walk to me. I'm way older. You're faster, skinnier. Get over here.
Sorry. So this was touched like a little bit earlier where you see other people having fun social media and then you feel bad about yourself. But people post the best of their lives and then they post the worst. It's always like you're looking at groups of people having fun and doing something, or you're looking at someone bawling their eyes out over something. So you feel sad that you're not living your life, but then you feel sad that your life's not as bad as someone else, and you're feeling sad because you are feeling sad because you're like, I'm not worthy.
Or you get pulled into
this. Or you get
sadness,
pulled into
right?
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just like a constant spiral of guilt.
Huh, interesting. Thank you so much. Those are some pretty wise words. I said one more, but I can't like deny. Okay, this is it.
So I think another way that it contributes to isolation is probably due to the fact that especially like consumption of negative news on social media can even cause or worsen like depression symptoms, which are known for causing feelings of isolation as well as loneliness. And it's like a repeating cycle because you don't want to talk to anybody, as well as, you know, people can just pick on other people online and they don't have to face any accountability for it most of the time. Unlike if you were doing it face to face.
As I'm walking back up front, thank you so much for those words, you guys. As I'm walking back up here, I was thinking about brain science, and I don't want to bore you with this, but what's interesting is when we are really engaged and connected with people, our brain produces something called oxytocin. And we feel really great when our brain is producing oxytocin. We feel connected. we would associate feelings of joy or happiness when that is being produced. And what I found interesting in this research is that dogs can feel this too. So if you're a dog lover, I mean, cats, I don't get it, but you know, dogs. But that oxytocin is not produced even when you see someone's face, like on a Zoom call or whatever you guys do, Marco Polo or whatever it is. It's not the same. Your brain does not produce, I'm sorry that I'm showing my age with outdated apps. I have no idea what you use. So Marco Polo's good? Okay, thank you. I have Marco Polo. Please Marco me. Anyway, but your brain does not produce oxytocin when you are connected digitally, but when you see somebody and have the opportunity to look them in the eye. So I can look my friend here in the eye, and both of our brains now are producing oxytocin, and the more we connect, so now we can have a conversation, we can, and it's like, oh, wow, and I feel really great. I feel joy when I'm connected to him. And the more we do that, and so what's really crazy is you, if you have a dog and you're a dog lover, you should look your dogs in the eye because it does the same for them, which I think is really interesting. Okay, social media, I wanted to say a couple things about that, is the relationships on social media are right at our fingertips. Like, they're right there. We can have as many friendships as we want through that. But it doesn't actually mean that that's a real relationship. And so you want to have those real connections. And here's the one thing I would say that's a very dangerous thing, that if we think that we can exchange a real relationship for just a digital one, that is dangerous territory. And I think that is happening more and more in your generation. That's why it's so important to be part of a youth group and all of that. That all helps to overcome feelings of loneliness when you can be a part of a strong youth group or people that share your values, and we'll talk about that. But when we think that we don't need that, that I'm happier if I can just sit in my room and you know, be on the device or whatever it is, and that's the same. It's not the same, and it leads to very dangerous territory just in terms of your own mental health. So that's all I want to say about that. One of the greatest tricks that I think Satan gets at with us is that he wants to make us feel like we are the only ones who are dealing with something. There's a saying that, well, this is actually true, that sheep are only attacked when they're alone. If they're with the herd, and so what the you know, whoever their attack coyote or wolf or whoever goes after sheep, what they try to do is separate the sheep from the herd, or they go after the one who has already separated themselves from the herd. If you're in a group, that doesn't happen to you if you're a part of the sheep herd. And I think that same thing is true of us and Satan, is that the enemy is going to always try to attack us when we're alone. And so I just want you to just think about that for a second, that if your generation is the loneliest generation, if you are the loneliest population, you are so vulnerable to attack from the enemy. And so, again, the importance of being around people who share your values, who will lift you up, is just absolutely crucial in terms of overcoming loneliness. I'm wondering about this. Have you ever experienced something traumatic in your life? Have you ever suffered from depression or anxiety? Have you ever failed a test? Have you ever failed a class? Anybody in here fail the driver's exam? Okay, you haven't taken it yet. There's time. Have you ever had an embarrassing or humiliating moment? Have you ever had thoughts of suicide? Or have you ever attempted suicide? I'm wondering, just in this list that I put up here, so not an exhaustive list, but if you've ever experienced any of these things, or had a friend who's experienced any of these things, would you just stand? I want to get a bird's eye view here. If I'm not mistaken, everybody in this room is standing maybe minus one or two, and I would still say that maybe those people who aren't standing might just be really tired and not wanting to stand, because these are universal. It's like they happen, even if it hasn't happened to you, I guarantee you, you know somebody in your circle of influence, your sphere of influence that has experienced one of these things. So can I just tell you that you are not alone? Look around this room, for those of you who are in the front, everybody is standing. Everybody is standing. We all go through things that are hard. We all experience something from this list that makes us feel alone. Okay, you can be seated. And what happens is we don't want to admit that something like this is going on in our lives. Like, I mean, thankfully, we are in a new place in our in history where mental illness is a topic that we can talk about. It has not always been that way. And it's still hard to admit to somebody. It's like, man, I started taking a medicine because I just couldn't, you know, quit crying or whatever it is. And so we are starting to talk about that more and are being accepted instead of being, you know, like, ooh, you take an antidepressant medicine? What's the matter with you? You know, or you see a therapist? I think everybody should see a therapist. I love my therapist. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, but it's, if the devil can convince you that you are alone in feeling that way, or if I admit that to somebody, what are they going to think of me? If they knew the real me, you know, and so we stay quiet about things. But the truth is that God has placed us in community with one another so that we do not have to carry that alone. In Scripture, it says that we carry one another's burdens. And that's the beauty of that. But if we don't share those burdens, nobody is going to even know that they have something to carry for you. So just an encouragement to you that if you want to overcome loneliness or fight against that in your life, entrust yourself to someone. You know, whether that's a youth group leader or a pastor or a peer, somebody, and say, I am really struggling with this, and walk that journey, because I guarantee you, you are not alone in that, that somebody very close to you has experienced something similar. All right. Any thoughts, questions, concerns, or snide remarks on that? Not even one snide remark?
Amen.
Oh, okay, that's a good...
Hallelujah.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. So a couple of quotes. Jasmine says, if I wasn't lonely, I wouldn't have felt particularly suicidal. If I'd been surrounded by people I enjoyed hanging out with, and that I felt more myself around, and that I could be myself, and that that person was accepted and liked, then I wouldn't have felt suicidal. Do you hear what she's saying?
She felt suicidal.
Well, yes, she feels suicidal. But it's connected to loneliness, which that is not a direct correlation. There's not a direct correlation between I feel lonely, therefore I'm suicidal. However, people who struggle with suicide, have thoughts of it, or have attempted it, or have been successful, there is a degree of connection to the fact that they also were experiencing feelings of loneliness. And so it is very important. But what she's saying is, I really didn't feel like I could be myself around people. I want that. I long for that. I want a group of people where I don't have to work at fitting in. I can just be myself. And that when I'm myself, I'm accepted and loved. So, you know, when we think about that, think about like, oh, you know, am I really being myself with my group of friends, or do I have to pretend to be who they think I should be? You see what I'm saying here? And so my guess is that many of you connect with that too. I connect with that too. We kind of change our opinions based on who we're around. Maybe our language changes based on who we're around. whatever, but we try to fit into that group and we lose who we are and who God has created us to be. Amanda says this. She says, you're basically at your breaking point and your mental health's really bad. You don't feel like any services are doing anything and there's literally nowhere else to turn. So that felt really lonely. And I just, you know, want to say about that, that again, you aren't alone in these feelings. That clearly isolation and loneliness are not what the Lord intends for us. He really doesn't. He wants so much more for us than that. And what I want to say to you is that God knows you and that God loves you just the way you are and that he wants what is best for you. He knows you. He still loves you even though he knows all the junk, all the stuff, and he wants what's best for you. And what's best for us is not loneliness. As a matter of fact, he created us to be in community. He created us to be in relationships. God is a God of relationships. Even just to understand that, look at the Trinity. That it's three persons and yet one God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you look at the story of creation, all three members of the Trinity are there at creation. That Jesus sought out time with his heavenly Father, that he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is three gods in our three persons, yet one God in relationship. God is a God of community. And so then what does he do? He makes creation, right? And it everything is good until we get to chapter 2, verse 18. And what's not good? What's not good? To be alone. To be alone is not good. And so God says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a companion for him who corresponds to him. The Lord God formed out of the ground every living animal of the field and every bird of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each of the living creatures, that was its name. So the man named all the animals, the birds of the air, the living creatures of the field. And what a fun job that would be. So, you know, like, oh, you look like a rhino. Nice. Rhinoceros is your name. You look like a pest. Ant is your name. You know, whatever it is. And so it's like Adam had this great job, but no companion who corresponded to him was found. So it's like that wasn't God's intention. Animals weren't enough. It wasn't enough of a companion for him. He needed somebody who was like him. Somebody he could talk to, somebody he could live life with. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, he took part of the man's side and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the part he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called Woe Man. Nah, just kidding. You know, come on. Yeah, get it? It's like, whoa, man, woman. Okay. All right, so this one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And so here you have Adam, who is just, he's feeling all alone. And God identifies this is not good. This is not the way. This is not the life that God intends for us. And so when we think about, okay, that God wants something that's best for us, and what's best for us is relationship. And sometimes we have to take the initiative to seek that out. Some other things that God says about this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in the Son and through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his Christ through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, that God wanted to be in relationship with us, and we weren't because of sin. So he reconciled us through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus makes that promise, I'm with you always. So even when we aren't maybe experiencing the connection with people, that is a great time to remind ourselves of truth that Jesus is with us always to the very end of the age. He says things like, I will never leave you or forsake you. That he is with us at all times. And so we can draw on the strength that comes in our relationship with Jesus. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit. He says, then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he resides with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And so we have this constant companion of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And so how do we do this? How do we overcome or fight loneliness? And I just want to give you a few things as we wrap up. And I want to answer the question, is there hope? You know, because all of this seems so sad. Is there hope? What do you think?
Yes.
Is there hope?
Yes.
There is hope. There is hope. God does not leave us abandoned as orphans. He provides a way. And so one of the things that he would say is serve others. He talks about this quite a bit, you know, in his word. So how could serving others help you to fight or overcome loneliness? You have thoughts on that? What time do we get out of here? Like in 5 minutes? What?
We have 5 minutes.
Listen, let's not argue about the details. We can stay here for as long as we want.
Yeah.
So anyway, give me some thoughts. How do you think loneliness or serving others helps you to overcome or fight against loneliness? Preach it.
Okay. I think that like when you serve others, you make connections with people. And when you make connections with people, I mean that's just a fast track to getting to know people and having
Love
conversations.
It. Love it. Any other thoughts on how serving others might connect you or help you overcome loneliness? Give us something really wise.
You get to be part of a community and you have a connection with others.
Yeah, very good. Very good. You got a different thought? Okay.
I was going to say that it makes you like think less of yourself. So like the focus of someone else's ways or how you could help someone else and you're not thinking about yourself as much.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. What you guys said is we are in community when we're serving others, and it helps us to, loneliness sometimes makes us focus a lot inward. And so saying, okay, I'm going to get out of that and I'm going to focus on someone else, that really does help us to overcome loneliness. What else? Connecting with Jesus, prayer or journaling, time in the Word. How do you think that's going to help you to overcome or fight loneliness? It seems a little cliche, right? Like, oh, just pray. Pray. But how does it really help us to overcome or fight loneliness?
You get to spend time with the Lord, and the Lord will give you, like, the wisdom.
Yeah, I believe that wisdom is what comes with a relationship with God. Yep.
I have long arms, so I can do it.
Okay, you do it.
I know for the Gospels especially, I've read them because I wanted to know what Jesus said about some things. And especially in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, Jesus says a lot of things about so many different ways to treat people and how to treat others.
Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, especially my confirmation verse was Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Whom of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life or single cubit to your height? Just my entire essay was about it.
Yeah, don't worry about today, you know, or tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own.
Don't worry.
Okay, pass your microphone to this young lady behind you in the red shirt. She's got something good to say.
So how you can probably connect with Jesus through prayer and journaling is that if you feel lonely because other people aren't always by you or something, you can always go into the Bible and it always says, Jesus is your friend even though you cannot see him, he is always there.
Yeah, he's always there. Okay, good. Hold on to that for just a second. And then this is the last one I think I'm going to talk about, but I want to show you this. So just being part of a community, join a community, but not just any community. You can be part of a group of friends who aren't good for you. You can join a group of folks that drag you down. And so this is what I would say. Ask yourself some of these questions. Is this group, is it healthy for me? Being a part of this group, is it helping me? Are people in this group pressuring me? Do we support one another in this group, in this community? Do we hold one another accountable? You know, if they see me doing something that is out of character or something that's not going to be good for me, do they have a conversation with me about that? Are we able to do that? Do I really belong here? Does this group make me a better person? And then do I feel good about myself when I'm with these people? Ever been part of a group of people and you don't feel good about yourself? Every time you go home, leave that group, you feel like you need to take a shower? I've been there too. Do we share the same values? It's so important that you hang out with people it's to be inclusive for sure, not exclusive, but people who like share your same value system or people that will stretch you, where you can express your values, have differences of opinion, but still love one another. Okay, do I want to be part of this group? Do I have a voice with this group? When I speak, does it matter? Do they care that I don't want to see the new Star Wars movie, that really I'd rather go see the new Disney cartoon? I mean, does it matter? Does what I say matter? Do I have a voice with this group, and do I have influence? Can I make a difference in this group? That those are some things that you can ask yourself as you think about a community. All right, you guys, thank you. Let me just pray real quick, and then I'll send you out to lunch or whatever's next. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here with these young men and women. And I pray, Lord, that you would place your hand on them and bless them. Remind them that they are yours and that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you know them, love them, and want the very best for them. Lord, on days when they're not feeling that, when they are struggling with loneliness, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them that you are a God who loves them and who wants what's best for them. So, Lord, just come alongside of them. Help them to feel your presence with them at all times. Surround them with people who will love them and walk this journey with them. Lord, we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen. Amen.